Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Is it fair to say the Cubs are playing in a must-sweep series against the Rockies? Did the fact that they won game one with just four hits sit well with you heading into last night's game? What was the difference in game two?
Yeah, you know, I think it's you got to be careful about saying must sweep. It's just there are different things that can happen on a given night where you run into an incredible performance from someone unexpected, or you run into a like extremely hot pitcher. I just don't know that must sweep. I understand the question. This is the team that has won nine games, and you don't want to be victimized by them. You don't want to feel that you gave something away. Last night they won, but it was in dramatic fashion, four hits the night before. You'd like them to be playing better baseball against these guys, but I don't think there is such a thing as a must sweep. I think you got to win every series, and you got to stack up winning series, and that's how you end up with a really good record. But I suppose, you know, it's difficult because this is a team on paper you should beat. So finish it. Finish the job. You don't want to get to the end of the year and realize that you had, like, five series you could have won that you somehow failed to do. And then that ends up being the difference between winning a division or not. I don't think that's going to be the case here, and I think the Cubs are playing well. But I do think that if you are better than a team, it's important to win. And that's the key in any sport, not just baseball.
Well, I mean, put your foot on the throat of the opponent. You've already won two, so the series is in the bag. I mentioned in the update, the Rockies have now lost 21 consecutive series, meaning they have not won a series yet this year. They've only won three games on the road, only won nine games overall. So you don't want to be the team that is the team that lost at home to a team that's historically off to an awful, awful start. Let's turn the attention to the other part of the question, which is the Cubs' offense. So, you know, the first game, only four hits, but you got it done. Last night, 10 hits. If Cade Horton doesn't hit the batter, perhaps they only score one run off the home run in the seventh inning, right? I mean, the hit batter comes around to score for the first run of the game. I think that was in the fourth inning. You need more hits. Okay, you need more hits. The good news, Ian Happ had two hits. Kyle Tucker had two hits. Matt Shaw had two hits. That's good news. If the Cubs had lost that game, I would have been in here this morning trying to figure out what in the wide world of sports PCA was doing bunting at that point when he bunted against a team with nine wins. That didn't make any sense to me at all. So, yes, and the other part of this is Matthew Boyd had his, I guess, worst start of the season the last time out. So you'd like Matthew Boyd to also get into the sixth and seventh inning range of the contest tonight. So, yes, it's not a must, but I think it's almost like a statement more than a must. Like, listen, we're the Cubs. We're arguing that we want to be in the top five of the power rankings, at least at this checkmark point, Memorial Day time of the year. Don't lose a game to the Rockies.
They're on pace to win 99 games, maybe 100 now if you do the math. There is no must-win scenario on May 28th for the Cubs. There is no must-sweep scenario in the course of a major league season, even against a team like the Rockies, who are still a major league team. The Cubs have won a series. They keep continuing to do that, and they're going to be fine, regardless of what happens today. If I'm Craig Counsell today, with the day off tomorrow and the Reds coming to town, I might be resting Kyle Tucker. I might be resting PCA, one of the rare games you give them off this year. PCA, I think, has played in every game. Why not give him a day off? As Dustin shakes his head in disgust.
Who's playing center then?
Then you want to find out, because you know what might happen? You need to find that out, because PCA may come down with an oblique injury. You don't know.
Is oblique?
Do not speak that into existence.
Hold on. We'll get to that point. We'll get to that question.
Is oblique the new hockey term?
We'll get to that. That's the number two.
Like mid-torso injury.
Back to tonight. It's just inconceivable to say must sweep. No, the Rockies are bad, but they are going to win a 10th game at some point. It might be against the Cubs tonight. Nobody needs to overreact. Matthew Boyd, it's not as big of a start as we just heard that it could be. The Cubs are going to be just fine, and they're still going
to
be.
So let's not even bother to play the game. Let's just give them their fourth road win,
you're
their 10th win of the season, and rest up for the Reds.
Because
the mighty Reds are coming to Wrigley.
I don't know if you care about depth, but I do, and you need to get some of these reserves some quality time. So you play them tonight. Brujan, play center. Give PCA a day off.
And you guys are asking different questions if he's thrown out.
He's 23, and they're off Thursday. Right?
Yeah.
I hope you didn't buy a ticket to the game tonight, and then PCA sitting with a day off and the Reds coming to town. And
he's
as Mully pointed out, I know he's got that free pass, so he doesn't have to buy tickets to baseball games.
Wow.
How bad is the news that the Cubs will be without catcher Miguel Amaya 4 to 6 weeks with an oblique? What's the best roster approach, and what's the deal with all the oblique injuries on the north side?
Well, I don't know it. Has Jed Hoyer been asked that directly? Has Craig Counsell weighed in on what's going on? It does seem to be a rash of injuries, the same type with a lot of Cub players. And if this were a White Sox hamstring outbreak, we would be connecting the dots or trying to. I don't know what the case is. I'm not quite sure how to explain all of these oblique injuries, but you've got, from Ian Happ to Seiya Suzuki to Miguel Amaya to how many other guys have had oblique strains, but they have seemed to all piled up. And now this is bad news for the Cubs, because every game is a must win, apparently. But Miguel Amaya missing 4 to 6 weeks and not returning until the All-Star break interrupts his momentum. He was having a very good season. And now you hope Carson Kelly continues the tear that he has been on. Reese McGuire is not going to hit two home runs probably again in his life in a game. They're not the way that he did on Sunday for the Cubs when he was called up and pressed into action. I was a little surprised. We'll get to the Sox trading Matt Theis to Tampa, but I thought that would be a guy might appeal to the Cubs. I don't know if Moises Ballesteros is ready. They don't think he is to be a major league catcher. But if you have offensive issues behind the plate and your offense is not good enough to carry that position, maybe he comes up for a cameo and a return visit to the majors. But this is a tough loss for the Cubs, because Miguel Amaya was taking a huge step forward.
Miguel who? Did we see Reese McGuire last night? Did you see Carson Kelly almost pull one out of the park last night?
Carson Kelly has a great run.
Listen, you don't need Matt Theis. They got two catchers. You're fine. Now, if another oblique happens to one of those guys, now that's a whole other question. Right? The Cubs don't need three catchers on the roster.
Here are the keys, Dustin. I like the cell. You're the prisoner of the moment.
They don't need three catchers right now. And you heard Cade Horton sing the praises about how great it was to be working with the catcher last night that he worked with in the minor leagues. Now, I believe Craig Counsell did address this question, and he talked about if you basically almost like the guys are in too good a shape nowadays is how I read into this. We should go back to this if we have some more time. But basically, when you his comment was along the lines of when we're trying to build them to be bigger, stronger, faster than ever before, like this is something that comes up. Like they're almost training too hard. That's how I interpreted it.
Like, you know what?
Like pull fat that we goof around with Ozzy.
Ozzy right? has the right idea. You can't pull fat.
And it's almost like these guys are in such good shape.
Yeah.
There are oblique muscles. Like they're on the side of your body.
I don't know much about that.
I just don't know. Like honestly, I don't know how you stretch them. I mean, I would imagine like kettlebell exercise. I don't know. But
you're
I mean,
the new workout warrior on this show, come on.
I'm wondering, is there like a compression bandage for obliques? Like, what do you do? How do you
like wrap yourself in an ace bandage, right?
What are those
undergarments called? Like Skims or something? Like you got to wear like that tube top type thing that sucks everything in.
But
I do think you're onto something, Dustin. The more tightly wound one is, the more likely you are to pull something. Could be.
Well, I also wonder how you get that muscle. Like, I guess ibuprofen or something. I'm serious. I don't know. Like, it also seems like the oblique is now a far-reaching term. Like, anything, you just hear it all the time. Is it always on your side? Is it a twisty type thing? Or is it just to sort of become like upper body, lower body, oblique, middle body?
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's wild. There seems like there's so many more of these than there were 5 years ago, right? So I don't know if that's because people are in too good a shape.
Guys are in better shape.
But it's worrisome because I don't know that there's a quick way out. I don't know that there's a, you know, other than time, I don't know. And that seems like it's a serious problem if it's 6 weeks.
Exactly, because Ian Happ had one. He came back in 10 days.
Yes.
He was rusty when he came back. Amaya's out 6 weeks. But you see, when you saw him go down, he couldn't. He tried to throw it, and
yes,
he knew immediately.
Right. He knew something was wrong. So, not good. I thought the same thing about Thies. I thought, boy, didn't the Cubs have him? Didn't they trade him to the White Sox? They could have got him back. But I don't know much about Drew Baker. Is that the guy they traded for?
Oh, we'll get to him.
Okay.
And I know what your next question is, so go ahead.
Got plenty of questions for Bruce Levine, 7:25 this morning. What do you make of the White Sox trading catcher Matt Thies to the Rays of Tampa for a minor league outfielder Drew Baker? The move allowed the team to activate catcher Corey Lee, 26, from the IL. Lee is 4 years younger than Thies and is the ultimate goal to move up Kyle Peel, who is the reigning International League Player of the Week. Is it all just about trimming a position where the Sox have great depth?
Well, I think they had a guy that was ready to come back, and I think they got a guy in the minor leagues, probably the best of all of them. So I just think it was, you know, you have a 30-year-old there and you have a chance to move him. I don't know if they've had their eye on Drew Baker for a while. He is on the injured list himself, right, or just coming off of it. So that's,
he's got an adductor strain.
Yes. Is that, like, tell me the difference between an oblique and an adductor strain.
That's up at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Well, you got to get a doctor on. What? I mean, I've heard of the adductor strain before.
It's adductor, too.
Adductor. Okay.
We need a doctor.
Yeah. Someone call a doctor.
Is there a doctor in the house?
We need an... Hey, you got a fresh doctor back there? Bring it in. We gotta replace this one. I think that Kyle Peel was probably in their minds ahead of Cuero. And I think that they probably would have moved Peel up quicker But when he didn't make the team, he kind of went into a little bit of a tailspin. He wasn't playing as well. So Cuero was playing better, so they moved him up. But I think Peel will be here before the end of the year, maybe right after the trade deadline, maybe before it, for all I know. He was just the – he is the reigning player of the week at – is he a AAA, I believe?
He's a AAA, yeah. He's a Charlotte.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he's – you know, he was the centerpiece of the Crochet trade, although they got a lot in that.
Kyle Teal was the best player in
whatever, it. Whatever. Yeah. Well, Braden Montgomery could be – eventually the best player in it.
Kyle Teal was the most accomplished player in that trade. Braden Montgomery may end up being the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if for all we know, it's, you know, we got a guy already up here. And don't forget about...
you got a guy.
Don't forget about... what's his name? Gonzalez?
I don't know.
Your guy.
Winkelman?
Winkelman.
Winkelman is your guy.
What if Winkelman ends up being the best?
Dustin?
That's a bad trade then.
I think in the question, the answer lies in the question where it says Lee is 4 years younger than Theis. It's a youth movement over there. That's what's going on. So, of course, and Corey Lee's had like a pretty decent bat from White Sox standards last year. So, why not?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. They have a surplus at a good position, a premium position. I would like to see Kyle Teal play different roles. Maybe if they need to get him into the lineup for his bat. I don't know why he's lingering in Charlotte. I know they have a surplus at the position. What do you do with three guys? Well, maybe you rotate them because you need a designated hitter. And if he comes back from Charlotte to Chicago, maybe he can bring Tim Elko with him because I do think that makes a lot of sense for a team in development mode. As for Drew Baker, when I heard Chris Getz yesterday point out that Drew Baker, when he does come back from the adductor strain, which is, by the way, in his leg, not his side, but the adductor is the groin area.
I'm straining just, to keep up with you.
It is.
That was a straining joke.
You just try to keep stride. I think when you talk about his future, Drew Baker, Chris Getz said center field. He said he's a speedy guy. They've had their eye on him, and he can play center field. I wonder if they got him as cover for trading Luis Robert Jr. That when Luis Robert Jr. is finally dealt, Drew Baker becomes your center fielder that they take a look at because he did say they'd like to take a look at him in the major league level at some point this season.
Didn't Lou Bob say he can't be traded?
Yeah, but he's not the general manager.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've asked this question, you know, a lot, obviously.
That is the voice of Connor Bedard. And what was your impression of new Blackhawks coach Jeff Blashill, who will join the show at 8:25 this morning? Did you like his forthrightness regarding Connor Bedard?
First up, I think Connor's going to get to another level. I don't think there's any question because like other superstars in this league, he has the drive, the want to be the very, very best he can be.
So, did you like to hear what he had to say there? And is this job number one for this new coach?
I do like everything Jeff Blashill had to say. He made a strong first impression. He spoke with purpose. He sounds like a hockey coach. He looks like a hockey coach. His experience will come in handy. I like the fact that he has 7 years of being a head coach in Detroit, learning from Dan Campbell. And also then he was an assistant coach in Tampa Bay, sitting next to John Cooper. When you sit next to the smartest guy in hockey, something's got to rub off. So he brings all of that experience, especially, and then not to be overlooked, at Grand Rapids. In college, he has coached prospects. He has developed young talent. I like the fact that he spoke about playing with pressure. With that Hawk speed, all the young guys who can skate, you want to be aggressive at the point of attack. And I think they have young defensemen that they can build with. They have young talent around Bedard. And yeah, he's made clear his number one objective with this roster full of guys, you connect with Connor. And if you do that, I think he feels like he's got a shot. And I think he's got a shot.
I think he's got a shot as well. Was very impressed. If we go into the whole winning the press conference type thing, I thought he won his version of the press conference. And I'm excited to hear what he has to say to you guys at 8:25.
Yeah, I thought he made a really good first impression. I thought that much of what he had to say was relevant. I think he's right about Connor Bedard. He talked about the skill set and the things that Bedard can do well. Bedard needs help, and part of it is figuring out a way to, and I think we should ask him about this. How do you make a guy a more selfish player? If that's the thing that separates him, his ability to shoot and to score, how do you get him to do that more often? How do you get him to not, if he's been taught his whole life to share the puck and set up other people, how do you get him to get selfish about his own game? And sometimes him setting himself up is the best thing he can do. How do you convince a guy of that? Do you have to? It's just going to be fun to get a chance to talk to him. His job is I want to be careful how I say it. I don't think they're on the cusp of anything, but they got a ton of young talent that is all kind of graduating at the same time. And if you could somehow do some magic work with that, if you can get these guys to, like, the raw talent is there to be a dangerous team. It's just a question of trying to fit it together and taking advantage of the things you do well and always playing to your strength. And they also are going to need to get some bigger, stronger types in here, not on the
tougher,
not on, but I'm talking about forwards.
Yeah, they need to get tougher all the way around. You're right, bigger, stronger is a good start. Definitely.
It's a good question.
That's the voice of Chris Chelios. 9 o'clock today, Chris Chelios. 9 o'clock on this Wednesday. Albert Breer reported on SI.com. The Bears have addressed two things so far with Caleb Williams: pre-snap process and body language. Is this what Ben Johnson meant by tearing everything down and starting over?
Yeah, I suppose that's exactly what he meant. I think the body language thing is interesting. I think it's curious to try to figure out how to solve that, to be honest with you. I just don't know. I would need someone to give me better examples, and I'd need to see that going on in order to have an easier way of understanding that. But I think what, you know, the pre-snap process is the most important thing right now for the player, because he needs to, in order to make quick decisions, you need to be able to know where you're going with the ball almost before the play is snapped. And I know a lot of people don't like hearing that, but it reminds me a little bit when Peyton Manning came into the NFL. They never used motion ever, because they wanted his last look at the defense to be exactly what he was going to be operating off of. So they didn't want to put guys in movement. They wanted him to be able to read where people were and then react in the second the ball is snapped. And I think that there have been times with Caleb where the ball needs to just get out quicker. They need to figure out how to do that. I think the play action game and the stuff that they're talking about will help him in order to do that. But I think that is kind of what we're talking about. The body language thing, that's a separate entity, in my opinion.
Well, body language is important from the captain of the team, at least the leader on offense. We'll have to wait and see if he is voted a captain or how exactly Ben Johnson's going to handle captains with the Bears. I don't think it'll be the same way that Eberflus handled captains in pre-snap process.
Would you recommend appointing them, Dustin?
I'm sorry?
Would you recommend he appoint them?
No, I would leave it to the locker room to decide. I just don't think, you know, when you have three, do you have one? I don't think you need eight.
Do you wait?
Four. But, I think four captains is
but
enough.
But how important is it for the quarterback to be one of them?
I think it's important, but I think at the end of the day, you have to let the guys inside that clubhouse, dressing room, locker room, whatever you want to call it, to pick it. But I think four, I think you have two. Two on offense, two on defense. If you want to rotate a guy in for having a good week or because it makes sense because he's playing against a former team, you want to kind of drum up the excitement a little bit, that's fine. But pre-snap process is important. It's huge. And we also heard that from Jim Miller as well, talking about maybe that's why he's not getting voted as a captain, is because maybe there is something to the fact that maybe he didn't put in as much time as one would hope because nobody was sitting next to me watching the tape, so I didn't know what I was doing.
Ooh, yeah, I don't know about that. So I think when you talk about Caleb Williams, everything is about helping him mature as a quarterback and a professional and paying attention to the details of playing quarterback in the NFL. You mentioned Peyton Manning. You mentioned the great ones. And Caleb Williams has a capability of being a great one. So the great ones pay attention to those details, and they eliminate eliminate wasted motion, wasted actions. And when he's talking about the pre-snap process, it's as little and as detailed as he was looking left and the motion was coming from the right when he should have been looking right. You don't want to have any sort of tendency. You want your quarterback to be in tune with everything. He should be the one who knows these plays and can call them backward and frontward. And I don't know that he's got that grasp yet. And I think the body language is also a part of it, because his body language last year did scream help. And it was one of these things that when you talk about Caleb Williams, he did not understand the power of body language and how that can resonate throughout a locker room, in a huddle, on a sideline. Caleb Williams has to grow up as a quarterback. Ben Johnson is going to help him do that this year. And this is the kind of thing we're talking about. You've got to pay attention to the little things because they make a big difference.
No, I'm going to finish the question. The question is this.
That's Casey Johnson. How do you interpret this Casey Johnson comment on what the Bulls might think of Maryland big man Derek Queen based on their commitment to style?
I will tell you this. One thing I've heard consistently about the Bulls is they are very focused on stylistically how whoever they pick in the first round will fit with their new philosophy. They obviously are trying to emulate the Indiana Pacers, get deep, play fast, have two-way players, depth at the wing, depth in the front court. Would Derek Queen fit into that? There are some question marks. This is not, again, nothing is definitive here. And we're obviously even speculating that Derek Queen could fall to 12. There is some, you know, different discussions on that, but one thing to keep in mind is that fit with the Bulls' new offensive style will be crucial to this draft pick.
Does Derek Queen fit the Bulls?
I think Derek Queen seems like a guy who you would want on your team, on your roster, making big shots, being the center of the offense. He has done all those things in the Big Ten at Maryland, and I respect what they're where they're coming from, because they did change the style and it is up and down. But at some point in time, you do need guys who are big men in the paint. You do need guys who can score the ball and be give you something that you don't have, a different dimension. I think that there's an undercurrent about this that's gaining some steam for whatever reason, that Derek Queen and the Bulls aren't a great fit. And I thought that the best situations, they tailor their schemes and their approaches around the talent they have, but it sounds like the Bulls are going the other way around. They're trying to find players who fit their scheme and talent. And I hope that that's the case, then they know what they're doing, because I think to label him not a good fit, to me, sounds a little premature.
Probably premature. Is he a two-way player? I'm looking at mock drafts as we're doing this, and SI's mock draft has Derek Queen going to the Bulls at number 12, right? Believe it or not. Just so it's kind of interesting. But I do think the Bulls love their style, and they want to make sure they have guys that can get up and down the court. They want guys that can make a three. They're looking for depth, but you know, we'll see. Are the right people in place to make the decisions about the roster? I think that's the question that's still to be determined.
I really like Derek Queen's game. I think he has touch. I think he has scoring capability. I think he can score in a lot of different ways. He can take the ball and he can dribble a little bit and he can shoot. And I think his shooting may end up growing as he's in the NBA because he has scoring touch. I think
he's talented, young.
People that are young and can score, he's 6'10" and he's got touch. I just don't know. I get it. Like, he doesn't show great athletic ability. He can't jump out of the gym. You know, I'm not – I've seen guys – like, when I was covering the league, Sean Kemp could run faster, jump high. He could do more than anybody else in the league with that stuff. But he wasn't a real legitimate NBA player. He couldn't shoot. When you've got shooting touch, you can learn things. You can get better. The guy also knows how to rebound and block a shot and get into defensive positioning. I'm not saying they don't have to work on him and he isn't half out of shape. He's semi-svelte, okay? Let's be honest about it. But guys like that, over the course of 82 games, are going to work themselves into the best condition of their life. Just the number of games they have to play. He has a scoring ability, an ability to get to the free throw line, and an ability to knock down free throws that you can't teach. There are basketball players that you see at all levels that just can't make their own shot. They can't score from 3 feet out. They got to rebound their own miss in order to score. I think we've all seen players like this in various ways, but this guy has got shooting touch.
Seemed like you'd be able to find a way to use him.
I cannot believe that you don't. If he falls to them at 12, I would stumble over myself trying to get up to put the card in.
Well, if he did that, you wouldn't fit into the Bulls scheme either.
I love this kid.
I do too. Queen me.
Queen me. I like it. He's Lightning McQueen. What?
Ha.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.